The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
For you tonight, and let me check in here with the latest. For those of you watching the Iowa caucus returns, remember, Iowa is a very small state. Donald Trump is in second position right now with about 70-75% of the votes counted. There are many things at work here, and I want you to keep this in mind. Even if Donald Trump had won by a narrow or relatively narrow margin, the opposition would have called it a loss. It looks like he may lose by 2,000 or 3,000 votes, something like that, which, of course, is really insignificant. Iowa will be a memory in 2 days. However, the enemies of Donald Trump are obvious. They are arrayed in full view, and they are spending hundreds of millions of dollars to defeat this man. Ted Cruz has a father. He's a preacher. He's been in Iowa for the last 2 years, off and on, mostly on, and has visited most every church in the state, pushing for his son. Don't begrudge him that. That's fine. That's what fathers do. Unfortunately, Teddy Boy, is, as Donald Trump said, a total liar and a fraud. He is a con artist. He is a man who pretends he forgot to declare $1.1 million in loans from Goldman Sachs and another bank. His wife works. She's an executive at Goldman Sachs. He is a tool of the long-time, ancient, criminal, political cartel that runs this country. Donald Trump was telling Americans they no longer have to live like that. They no longer have to live under the boot of career criminal politicians and their controllers. The controllers and the elite who run the machine called politics in America are scared to death of Donald Trump. That's why they have earmarked, and this was several months ago, the GOP movers and shakers, the long-timers, earmarked over $100 million several months ago. When I saw that, I said, this is not good. You're seeing the results of mainstream media, which has now been bought and paid for by the enemies of freedom and the enemies of Donald Trump, waging one of the most vile wars on the runaway front-running candidate of any major party in American political history. This is a joke, a bad, ugly joke. You have to keep that in mind. and stay firm, stay resolved. Donald Trump is the only one who can make America great again. Ted Cruz can't do it. He's a liar. He's a fraud. Marco Rubio, the little greaseball, can't do it. He's a fraud too. They're all part of the machine that is controlled by international world Zionism that is running this country. Understand that. Also understand that there is blackmail, bribery, extortion, and fraud going on in the media to an extent that many of you probably would never believe. Some of the biggest talk show hosts in the country, a fellow named Levin, was totally Trump. Trump could do no wrong. Trump, Trump, Trump. He has done, all of a sudden, out of the blue, a 180. Now he's putting Trump down all the time. Why would he do that? Because somebody went to him and said, we are going to cut off all your advertising money unless you change. And he changed. Can I prove it? Nope. Don't need to. I've been in the business long enough. Nobody does a 180 like that unless they are forced to do it. Number two, Rush Limbaugh, I am told, has done virtually the same thing. Probably for the same reason. Again, I can't prove it. But people in the business of analyzing politics do not do a 180-degree flip-flop on someone that they were so high on for so long, unless there's a real ugly reason for it. You need to understand this is a war of the media and its controllers against our freedom, and the last chance we have. Is Donald Trump Jesus Christ? Is he perfect? Of course not. Has he made mistakes? Which one of us hasn't? He didn't lie about $1.1 million in loans and say, gosh, I forgot to declare it to the Federal Election Commission. If you believe that, forget about it. You're on the wrong planet. It's absurd. So with that said, don't despair when they say, ah, Trump underperforming, Cruz upset win. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't make any difference at all. Oh, Iowa means virtually nothing. This is not a vote to caucus. And they were careful to put out the results early so people who were still caucusing would see these results and say, well, geez, maybe I better not vote for Trump. I better vote for a winner. That's how people are. So is this a surprise? No, not when you consider Karl Rove and all the rest of them who have literally declared war to the death against Donald Trump. And us, those of us who understand what the stakes are here. If we vote in, our vote, what is our vote worth? If we allow an establishment, political, professional whore to be elected president, whether it's Hillary or Cruz or Rubio, it doesn't matter. We are going to get what we deserve, and that will be the end of this country as we knew it. It's changing fast already, but that will take care of it. The dirty, dark hands behind this are so evil, I could never adequately explain it if I had a year. All right, that's enough. Tonight at 9 o'clock, in 2 hours, Larry Nichols will join us for a half an hour. He's going to, and I want you to listen to Larry. He is a political operative going all the way back to the Clintons in Arkansas. He is a genius at the game of national political politics. Trust me on that and listen to the man. He'll be on at 9 o'clock tonight. He's just had major surgery on Saturday. I don't even know how he's functioning, but he will be here. And tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock on his regular program on the Rents Radio Network, I will be a guest as well, and we will cover this in detail. So by all means, listen in. Okay, let's go now and step back in history. What we're going to do is, through the good graces of one of the bravest men and another American hero, a true patriot hero, Clark McClelland, who was a space scientist, and a space scientist with the NASA program. What else can you say? The Apollo program? 30 years Clark's been with the NASA Space Agency until he went public and became a whistleblower, and they destroyed his career, and he is left with no retirement, no nothing. Clark is an incredible man, and I've known him for a long time, and he's come on to talk about the astonishing German World War II scientific advancements, where they actually developed and built flying saucers. That's what we call them, but they were anti-gravity, however you want to phrase it. They were machines that defied normal physics in terms of flight, and are still around today, and then some. It's quite a story. Clark, are you there?
I'm here, Jeff. I'm in pain, though.
I'm sorry. For all of you who don't know, Clark is now bedridden, basically, because of the ulcerations on his left leg. Now his right leg is bothering him, and he is absolutely in agony. And I just, we've been there before. He will be he is going to express that pain as it sieges his mentality, and so just be ready for that. But he's got information that he asked me if he could share with all of you tonight.
I'm sorry.
It's all right, Clark. I don't apologize. You are dealing with something that would kill already many lesser people. You're still here fighting, so thank God for that.
Okay.
All right. Now, I didn't mean to go on so long in the beginning, but the Zionists are behind this. We all know that, those of us who study politics. And it's being manipulated. It's a clear effort at a psychological operation, no doubt.
Right.
None.
Right.
All right. Tell us about the Germans you knew. Clark names names. The American space program was all World War II Germany, period. That's what it was. And they brought over here their technology and their scientists. And some of them, of course, went to Argentina. They had an atomic energy program down there. It was astonishing right after the war in 1946. It shouldn't have been there, but it was. And Harry Cooper has talked about that. Anyway, tell us what the Germans were up to and what you know about it.
Well, Jeff, the Ernst Steinhoff, who was the senior scientist at Holloman Air Force Base for many years. He died December 1987.
Okay.
But he made several disclosures to me and other people that President Eisenhower met with ETs or who. ETs or who. In 1955 at Holloman Air Force Base. His plane, Columbine 3, flew in and landed on the airstrip there. And Dr. Ernst Steinhoff watched and observed it as he landed. And he said that the aircraft had at least about, he said that the V-7, I'm getting ahead of myself here, I'm sorry.
Okay, it's all right, just take your time. First of all, why is Holloman Air Force Base important? Let's talk about
that. Well, it was important at that time because that's where they chose to have the president land.
That's Eisenhower.
Aboard.
Yeah.
President Eisenhower, who was German from his ancestry.
Well, he's Swedish.
I met him myself.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Swedish and German.
Well, whatever. But I met him a couple of times, and I knew him well, General Eisenhower.
So this is Clark, the meeting of Eisenhower with off-planet intelligence, as far as you know, is probably accurate.
Yes, it was. But it wasn't... The Germans who were in the disc, the V-7 disc that landed in Holloman on the airstrip there, in front of the aircraft of President Eisenhower, and they were Dr. Ernst Steinhoff. When he was watching this occur,
uh-huh.
He said that he saw the aircraft land with Eisenhower, and he watched as General President Eisenhower stepped out of the aircraft and walked down the ramp and walked up the runway. And as he said, he was there. He was there watching all this happen, Dr. Steinhoff. He said that the V-7, which was the advanced, like V-1, V-2, V, whatever they had.
In the V-series, okay. V-7.
The V-series. The V-7 was a disc or saucer-shaped object that was built by Dr. Meiss and Dr. Belanzo at Peenemünde, the German rocket base in Peenemünde in 1942. It was 74 years from now, 2016. 74 years way back at many years right. of experimentation. It is absolutely a flying disc in our skies of Earth, all Germans. It was Germans in that aircraft, in that disc that General Eisenhower met, because they were not allowed to show the officers inside the craft. They weren't showing them because they were all dressed in German uniforms.
Oh.
They were Aryan Germans. That's what they were.
Were there any ETs involved with this? Now, I have a report from someone who filmed at the Air Force Base. I'm not sure if it was Edwards. I believe it was Edwards. Was there another meeting in Edwards with Eisenhower? Do you know?
Yes, there was. Yes.
Okay, that's the one where the tall, thin ETs supposedly got out of the ship and came down and met him.
Okay, that's where that happened, but I wasn't covering that tonight.
Right.
I didn't go into that deeply enough.
Tell us about...
I'm in too much pain.
I understand. Now, who is the German scientist again, the name that was there in Holloman?
It was Dr. Ernst Steinhoff.
All right. Ernst Steinhoff, right.
S-T-E-I-N-H-O-F-F.
Okay.
He was their chief scientist at Holloman for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Many years. And Eisenhower met with, he said he saw Eisenhower leave his aircraft, a large aircraft. It was the plane I had, Columbine 3.
I think that was a TWA Super Constellation.
It may have been. I don't remember.
Did Steinhoff, Clark, excuse me, did Steinhoff tell you this himself?
Yes. I met with him.
Where did this happen? Do you remember the location? Was it at the Cape? Where was it?
At the Cape when he visited there. But that's what I wanted to get to.
Okay.
He was visiting there and visiting his friend, Dr. Kurt Debus,
yes.
the director of the Space Center. So what people don't seem to get in their minds is we were all under the control of the Germans. The Germans were controlling us all through those years. So Dr. Steinhoff was a top scientist there. And Dr. Kurt Debus, he invited me to see him and to say hello to him, which I did. And then I asked if he would allow me, please, to be able to question Dr. Steinhoff. He said, yes, call my secretary. I did, and they made an appointment time. I went over there. I knocked on the door. He said, come in. I walked in, and Dr. Steinhoff was sitting beside Dr. Kurt Debus on his right side.
Uh-huh.
I walked in, and Dr. Kurt Debus said, sit beside Dr. Steinhoff, Clark.
Wow. Why did the Germans like you, Clark, so much? They really trusted
because
you. You were taken in.
I was never mistrustworthy with them. Not ever once was I mistrustworthy.
Uh-huh.
And there were tests that they gave me that I passed with 100%.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, I was in there, and I asked him, and he said, what I'm about to say. I said, sir, can you recall whether you were at Holloman Air Force Base in 1955? He said, let me think, and he thought, and he came back at me and said, Clark, absolutely, I was there because I recall the reason why. He said he was told that the president was going to land there that day in 1955. And he said he was there and watched all this happen. He said it did happen. I was there, and I will swear to that if I need be. And Dr. Debus said, no, you don't need to do that. So you see, Dr. Debus was one of the top German scientists that was involved with the
with the
V7 program, and there were various other programs that were activated on by the what was then called the United States government, which I don't call it any longer.
No,
there's no U.S. government anymore.
No,
people listening, they won't want to believe that. That's because we've all been brain dead. We've all been taken to a point where we don't even know what the hell's right or wrong anymore.
Agreed. What did the Germans share with you that was, it would give you an idea where the V7 program was being conducted? What did you learn? Where were they building these craft?
They were building it in Peenemünde.
After the war, Clark. After the war.
No, 1942.
Yeah. All right. They built them during the war.
They were building on it after that, too.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of what they transferred was transferred under the Southern Polar Cap, where they transferred all their scientists and many of their technicians and many other people that they needed down there.
Yeah.
And the Germans transferred thousands of people under the polar cap in the South Pole.
So that whole Antarctic underground German facility was real.
That's right.
Did you know, when did you first know about that, Clark? When did you, do you remember about when you first heard that there was a German base, a technological base, if not a refuge, in the Antarctic? When did you hear that? Do you remember?
When did I hear it?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember back in a lot of time.
All right.
With a lot of pain in my leg right now.
Okay, hold on, Clark. We have to pause for a minute. Just hold on. And I'd see if you can remember when they first told you about this underground facility in the South Pole. That, of course, was why Admiral Byrd took an enormous task force down
Admiral
there.
Admiral Byrd.
And he got
down there with a fleet of ships.
He got his,
and he was defeated.
Yep.
He was absolutely defeated there. And when he returned, he made sure that the government knew that here. And then what happened following that was the Germans and Aryans that were there created this highly advanced flying saucer craft and have flown it for many decades and kept it secret from all of us on Earth.
Okay, stand by, Clark. Hold on. Sit tight, breathe deeply, and try and do your best. We'll be right back with Clark McClelland in just a couple minutes. talking with Clark McClelland about advanced German technology, Admiral Byrd's trip with a huge task force, aircraft carriers, destroyers, I think he had 250 planes, the works, and they were thoroughly defeated, thoroughly. We don't even
know
the number of we don't know the number of men who died down there, how many planes were shot down with apparently beam weapons. Craft came up out of the water, that's the word, and destroyed them. Admiral Byrd would never talk about this in great detail. Forrestal was involved. They killed him, as you know, a couple years later.
Oh, yes. Forrestal was murdered.
He knew. They all knew what was going
on. That's right. They knew.
Okay.
They knew the USA.
Carry on with your story. When did you, how long have you known about the German base, which apparently may still be operational today in the Antarctic?
I'd say since early in the time of when I was involved with the German scientists, because many of them had been there and come back.
Oh.
And with it, they would open their minds to me at lunch or someplace, and then they would tell me things. At that time,
what did
absolutely.
Clark, what did they say about the Antarctic base? What did they say? Do you remember anything in particular?
That it was massively large, that it was rebuilding, it was actually building more and more onto it, and that it's actually a base under the ice cap.
Yeah,
they're huge. Antarctica.
Yeah, under the ice cap are enormous caverns that go, and apparently they've enlarged the whole thing, if it's true.
That's right.
And it appears to be true because Admiral Byrd was defeated by something down there in a very,
That's
very
right.
bad way. This is a
That's
historical
right.
fact, a record.
That's right.
We never knew how many aircraft and personnel. They lost two ships down there, we are told, but we don't know for sure.
That. Yeah. They lost a lot of men down there, too. I don't know how they explained that to their families.
No, they probably just said they were missing in action, fell overboard, whatever, who knows.
Yeah, right. Now, here's another thing, Jeff. My emails, my personal emails that I've had for many, many years through Hotmail and otherwise, they have all been canceled now.
Wow.
All of my emails are gone.
Well, there's no limit to no limit to evil. You mean if I email you, it won't come through?
Well, you may get it through on Gmail or on what's the other one? I forgot the other names. I'm sorry, my mind is slipping.
All right, Hotmail, Gmail. I understand. It's okay.
I had Hotmail for many, many years. And then it just died. It went away.
Mm-hmm.
I can't seem to find anybody to tell me why. I deserve to know that.
Well, you
and
deserve.
I had Gmail since January 10th,
uh-huh.
and it was working fine. It has now gone away.
All right.
So
tell me more about the V7. Craft. Now, if that V7 was around in the mid early 50s, where might they be now with their craft? That's another intriguing question.
That craft now has been advanced so far beyond technology that I don't even know I don't even know how far beyond it has gone.
Right. No way to figure. Go ahead.
Jeff, I don't work there anymore. They don't allow me to have any email or anything from any of the friends of mine, astronauts that are still alive or anything else.
Right.
They destroyed my life there, and they destroyed everything else. If I'm not important, why would they do that?
Oh, I agree. What do we know about 1952 when that fleet of UFOs flew right over the White House in Washington, D.C., was picked up on radar. I had one of the radar operators on this program at one point, in fact.
Yeah, right.
They were all visible, and everybody saw them. I don't know, a couple dozen of them anyway, I think. What do you know about that? Anything?
They were the discs, the saucer-shaped objects that they had the Germans created under the South Pole. And they said, okay, what we're going to do is prove to Washington, D.C., President, what was his name at the time?
Oh, Truman. Eisenhower?
President Truman.
Truman was there until 52. I don't know what it would have been January of 52 that Eisenhower took over. So probably Eisenhower.
Well, Truman and Eisenhower. Truman and Eisenhower were part of the gang that knew all this truth and did not disclose it to the U.S. people and the voters here. So you see, one thing we have to address, the human race in the United States is very stupid. It's very, very dumbed down stupid now, because if you talk to some of the kids coming out of high school, you would find out how dumbed down they are. That's what they are. We've become a dumbed down nation of stupid people.
Correct.
And
that
doesn't—that's
not to say this audience fits with that description. It does not. However, the majority, the rank and file sheep, just don't get it.
They don't get it because they don't have the common sense to even want to know about what it is. They have their computer games. They have their drugs. They have everything else that's destroyed their minds now. And that they're... I'm sorry, I'm losing words anymore.
No, you're okay.
But anyway, we're a stupid nation now.
We are, sadly, I agree. Stand by a minute, Clark. We have to pause one more time, and we'll come right back.
Okay.
All right. Be right back. Clark McClelland, whose health is not good, but whose mind is full of information. He continues to write chapter after chapter in his book. Tell us more, Clark.
Jeff, Art Campbell, a UFO investigator, investigated into the Eisenhower-Holman Air Force Base 1955 incident there, and he came up with a wonderful amount of people that were there at the time that have disclosed. For those who would like to find out more, if they would open up Art Campbell, C-A-M-P-B-E-L,
all right.
Art Campbell.
Right.
And
who is Art?
Learn a lot more.
Who's Art Campbell?
Art Campbell is an E.T. He's a UFO investigator for a long years, many years.
Okay.
And he's got the most extensive discovery of people that worked there at the time they came forth and told him exactly what they saw there.
Uh-huh.
And they disclosed all this to Art. He made a wonderful disclosure of this. If you open Art Campbell, Camp Bell, he will have it on his set, his website. Okay? And you will see there, you can read who was there, who saw Ernst Steinhoff.
Uh-huh.
Those who saw Ike's plane land, Columbine 3. And he will tell everybody what they saw as far as not one UFO on the ground, but two or three in the air.
Right.
That were taking care of the one that landed on the ground. So he's got one heck of a great disclosure there of everything that he has found when he went into the Holloman Air Force Base.
Uh-huh.
Holloman Air Force Base, 1955, landing of President Eisenhower. And this disc,
right.
This one disc that landed there, and Ike, President Eisenhower got out of his aircraft, walked across the runway, and he went over to the craft. A ramp opened. He slowly went up the ramp. He went inside the door of the craft, and these people were observing that you'll read about if you open Art Campbell's site. And he said that they were there, and they were they observed it. These people that he interviewed, that Art had many men who were working there during the presidential visit who claimed to have seen him and an unknown large alien mm-hmm. ship on the air,
right.
ship on in the air and on the ground.
Correct. Yeah, it's my understanding of it.
So they were there. I'm sorry if the show of mine isn't the best as usual.
It's okay. I'm glad you're here. So
I'm having a horrible pain.
Yeah.
Horrible pain episode right now.
All right. Let me ask you one more thing, Clark. Hold on.
Okay.
Just try and hang on
okay.
there. Take some deep breaths if you can. The Germans who were here, the Soviets got some of them. The ones we got clearly were geniuses in their field.
There was a lot of geniuses that the Russians got from the Germans, too.
That's what I understand.
That's
why they had the first man in space, the first satellite in space. That was all German technology and
that's
engineering.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was all the German race that did that. You see, the Zionist Jews don't have that type of a race. They can only destroy countries like the USA. And that's exactly what they've done here. And I hate their nation. I hate the guts of those bastards because of what they did. My country, USA, was my nation all my life. I'm going on 82 years old now. So it will always be that. But I don't believe we can ever bring back the USA. I don't believe that can ever happen again.
I'm not going to argue that. I don't see any hope because we have no mechanism. We are frozen
right.
out of the political process, which is completely
right.
owned and operated by interests that are not American.
It
may look like it. The media may tell you that, but it's not owned by us anymore. It's all about money, bribery, blackmail, extortion, thuggery, and murder. They kill people.
And crime and treason.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely
crime
correct.
Crime and treason by this evil race on earth.
Did you, Clark, did you know back then in the 70s and 80s that it was Zionist money that was running or trying to run this country? When did you first become aware of that?
I became aware of that back in the final years I was with the space program.
And you think
I was up to that up to that date, I was becoming more aware of it because I was studying that fact.
Right.
I wanted to find out who our greatest enemy was.
Right.
I found out it's the Zionist Jews of Israel. That's our greatest enemy.
I've reported on that for many years here, and it must have been a very lonely realization for you back then.
Oh, yes, right.
And if you talked about it, do you think that that's what got you originally in trouble with the space agency? The fact that you knew too much?
Of course, I knew too much. I knew far more than anybody out there. Oh, yes, I did. And I'm happy I did because I'm very, 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 I'm honored by that I was able to learn that. Honored by that. I knew a lot of the scientists out there. I met all the astronauts that were first brought into the program. Alan Shepard.
Sure.
And all the others that were brought in. And they were my friends. They would slip and tell me certain things now and then, too. So that's what I'm happy about.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
What kind of things would they slip and tell you?
Well, not only I say slip, but I don't think they would slip.
I think they were bringing you along intentionally, but...
That's right. They were doing that because they understood I was an intelligent person.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, I've got a 180 IQ.
Well, I'm not surprised. You were in that program doing things that few others could do. And for the Germans to have taken you into their confidence is pretty much the ultimate compliment, isn't it, for a scientist?
That's right, because, you see, they were able to find out that I was actually the bloodline of the nation that's above Germany there.
Mm-hmm.
What is the nation? I've read. My mind is slipping. My grandmother was a
McClellan.
My grandmother was from Austria. Okay.
Okay.
And they realized that I was Austrian blood.
That's good enough.
Not Irish, Austrian blood, German. So they took me in, and they trusted me after they tested me with certain things, and I didn't fail because I knew exactly what they were trying to do, trip me up and not talk to me again.
Uh-huh.
Well, that never happened. That never happened. When they would test me on something, I would recognize it and let it go. That's where it was. Dr. Debus told me that one day. You never slipped, Clark. He said you never, ever slipped.
Wow. How nice. What a nice thing for him to say. This is Dr. Debus. Again, you have a handful of Germans that we got,
right.
And there was another handful that the Soviets got. I don't know big the handfuls were, but these men were absolutely beyond brilliant. And they took us to the moon. If we went to the moon, they took us to Mars, and I believe that's probable. I can't prove it. But there are a lot of things going on that this country just doesn't understand, never will, and never was supposed to. Clark understands it. He lived it.
Jeff, we've been to Mars. We have already been to Mars with an international astronaut crew that's totally controlled by Zionism. But it is. Zionist owns this country. Zionist owns every person here.
Look at AIPAC. I mean, we understand the amount of influence that they have. It's extraordinary.
That's right. That's right. And we are an enslaved nation now. We are all enslaved to the Zionist nation on earth called Zionist Israel.
Mm-hmm.
They're a very evil, evil race out there.
No, Clark, you're wrong. They're our biggest friends and a wonderful democracy in the Middle East. Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah, right. You're right.
That wonderful democracy where it's the most racist country on the surface of the earth, period.
That's right.
Except it's not talked about because they own the media. So we don't about their racism, their hate. They're shooting Palestinian men, women, and children, teenagers, and then stealing their organs and selling those. They're behind ISIS. They've sent over 1,000 military medical personnel to treat wounded ISIS fighters, bring them out, patch them up, and send them back. We don't talk about any of that. So,
of course not.
Yeah. Clark, you go and rest and try and manage that pain, and thank you for sharing that. Thank you.
I'll see if I can find some more that I'm going to release.
Okay.
And then I'll tell you in the future, okay?
Thank you, Clark. Thanks very much.
That's assuming I survive.
All right. Well, we hope.
I don't believe I'm going to survive too much longer.
Well, you've got to get some pain relief medication that works, okay? That's obvious. That's step one. I'll talk to you tomorrow or the next day.
Okay, you take care. Thanks for the show.
Thank you, Clark. All right.
Audience for listening again.
Okay, they appreciate it. All right. Okay, we're going to pause, and we'll be right back with more.